You know, I remember when I was a kid growing up, sometimes we'd play pranks. You ever done practical jokes and pranking on one another? Maybe you've done this one, silly, silly, stupid kid stuff. You know, when you call somebody up on the phone and you say, "Hey, is your refrigerator running?" And they go, "Well, sure." And they go, "Well, you better chase it down and catch it before it gets away." Yeah. Does anybody here ever do that one? Yeah, we got, you're showing your age, guys. I'm just telling you. There was another one kind of similar to that. You'd call up a store and say, "Hey, do you have Prince Albert in a can or Prince Albert in a box?" And if they said, "Sure, we do," then you'd say, "Well, you better let him out before he suffocates." Some of you don't know what Prince Albert in a box is. Some of you do. It's a kind of a tobacco thing from way back when. Yeah, anyhow, listen, all of that stuff is just kind of, you know, just foolish, having fun, kids joking. But here's what's not a joke. It's not something to worry about whether or not we've put Prince Albert in a box. The problem is when we put God in a box. And sometimes through our small thinking, limited faith, we have this concept of just how big God is and just what God's able to do. And we love God, and we know He's real, and He's powerful, and things like that. But it's kind of like, yeah, and He can do certain things. But then there's just certain things that God really, I don't know that God can really even do that. And we get to this place where we just don't have enough faith to believe. I mean, it's kind of like we say things like, you know, the world's just going to hell in the handbasket, and there's really nothing that we can do about it. Nothing God can do about it, kind of thing. You know, maybe on a more personal level, my marriage is in such deep trouble that I don't even know that prayer will change anything. You see the devil wants to get us thinking things like that, though, right? He wants to get us thinking small-minded about God, to not believe in the possibilities. Maybe we got a doctor's report saying that, you know, hey, you've got this terminal disease. And we're just like, well, I guess I just need to give up and get ready to die. That's what the doctor said, instead of, well, what did God say about it? See, we get this small thinking about life. Maybe I'm just unhappy. I've always been unhappy. I'm always going to be unhappy. Nothing's ever going to change. And again, but here's what I got to thinking about. I mean, the title of my message today is Taking God Out of the Box. But here's what I got to thinking about, And it's not so much that we need to take God out of the box, because you don't have a box big enough to put God in, by the way. I don't know how big your box is. I don't know how big you can imagine God to be, but I just want to tell you He's bigger than that. It's not so much that we need to get God out of the box. Here's really what we need to do, is we need to get ourselves out of the box. You see, we've let the devil speak to us and lie to us, and we've begun to believe his lies long enough that we have got to the place where we stop dreaming, where we stop believing, where we stop expecting, where we begin to think that, well, it's just always going to be like it's always been and nothing's really ever going to change, or you know, hope for a little bit and it doesn't happen as quickly as maybe you hope that it was going to happen, and you're like, ah, see, I knew I shouldn't have gotten my hopes up. How many of us have learned to not get our hopes up? How many of us have stopped dreaming, stopped believing, stopped imagining? We're going to look at the word imagine here in just a minute, but you know, if you want to talk to somebody that's got a great imagination, talk to a kid. Man, kids, they can just dream up some of the craziest, biggest, imaginative stuff. And here's kind of where I'm at. It's like, well, what happened to us adults? When's the last time you really imagined something? When's the last time you really thought outside of the box? When's the last time that you believed for something and stretched your faith for something? And Because here's what happens is we grow up as little children, we imagine anything is possible, and then we kind of get, you know, go through life and we start seeing some of the reality of things that don't always turn out the way we want to. And maybe we get disappointed here and there along the way, and things didn't happen like I thought and it didn't turn out like I wished. And so we start to cocoon, we start to put ourselves in a box, we start to shut down and close off and say, I want to protect myself. I'm going to protect my heart. I'm not going to dream anymore. I'm not going to put myself out there just to get disappointed again. And if that's where you are this morning, I think I got a word to bring some hope and some renewal and some encouragement to you. I want to talk to you from what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And it's just a challenge for us to dream big, to think big, to raise our level of expectation, to go above and beyond what we've ever imagined or dreamed possible. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above, somebody say that with me, exceedingly abundantly above all, somebody say all, that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. I want to kind of unpack that verse today, and I want to look at it from three different angles. I want us to look at the awesome greatness of the power of God that is above us, that is within us, and that wants to work through us. So first of all, let's look at how that God is able, because there is power above us. And when I say that there is a power of God above us, I'm not talking about like God resides somewhere above us in the heavens in some undisclosed location that we can never figure out, that he's above us somewhere way out yonder. No, when I'm talking about the power of God above us, I'm talking about the power of God that is exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or even think. The power of God that is above our imagination, above our understanding, above our comprehension. Because when you start to talk about God, with God, you always get more. God just gives you more than what you would have ever dreamed for. That's the God that we serve. He's the God of more. You know, and again, we've lived in this life where we get disappointed by things and we begin to even get to the place where we're not even sure we're willing to trust God. Well, maybe God will let me down. Have you ever ordered something online? It was the greatest gadget, you know, it's going to solve all your problems. It finally shows up, you rip the package open, and then you realize, oh man, this is not what I was expecting. It's made cheap, it breaks the first time you use it, never even did what it said it was going to do to begin with. And you know, we sometimes we just kind of go through life that way, and we get to that point where it's just like, I don't want to be disappointed. I'm not going to put myself out there because it'll just make me get hurt. And sometimes that's what we begin to put on God. We lower our expectation of God. But with God, you get more. And you don't just get more, you get exceeding abundantly more. I mean, the New International Version says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more. I mean, I don't know how you, I mean, we measure things in the speed of light, light years. You know, that's you know, how far is it, you know, that light can travel in 1 year? That's how far it is from one star to another. I want to tell you that you can't even measure God in light years. You can't measure God in gallons or yards or inches. I mean, he's exceeding, he's immeasurable, he says. He's him who is able to do immeasurably more. The King James again says, exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask, or King James says, think. The other renderings say, or imagine. There's that word imagine that I was talking about. Where Paul is kind of saying to us, what are you willing to imagine? What are you willing to think? What are you willing to believe or to hope for that God could do in your life? See, what God wants to do, he wants to do it in your life. Well, what is it that you need him to do in your life? I know you think that it's a big thing. But for God, it's not really that big of a thing. I mean, like, when we're talking about God who, well, Chris Tomlin describes him as being indescribable. He describes him as being indescribable. Chris Tomlin in the song Indescribable, indescribable, you know, you place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You're an amazing God. I mean, think about it. Science is, what, we used to have the Hubble telescope. We thought that it was pretty good, and now scientists have just put another one up there. I don't know what they call that one, but, you know, it's supposed to, you know, make the Hubble look like nothing. Scientists are saying, like, yeah, we may be able to go back and see the beginning of time. I don't know how you'd see the beginning of time, but anyhow, but they're seeing stuff that we've never seen before. And they're beginning to understand. I mean, we walk outside and we look up in the sky at night and we go, man, that's a lot of stars. Wow, there's 3, 4, 10, 15, 120, 500, 7,000. I don't know if you ever got to 7,000. Maybe that's the biggest that we could get to from our vantage point. Our vantage point just doesn't even start to describe what God is capable of doing. He doesn't just create a star or two or three or 7,000. He creates millions and millions and billions and billions. And then we find out that not only are there billions of stars in a galaxy, but then there are now billions of galaxies. Did you realize that? I mean, they're saying billions of galaxies with billions of stars. And he put every one of them in place. And he knows them by name. I want to tell you, he knows you by name as well. And if he's willing to extraordinarily just show off, I mean, I don't mean this in a negative way, please. But God can be a show off sometimes, in all of the good ways. And sometimes he just likes to just show off. Let me just show you what I'm capable of doing. I've had some moments like that. In fact, I've had two or three conversations in the last week where I hear something that's pretty great that God's just done, and I'm like, God, that was pretty awesome. And then he goes, oh, I ain't shown you nothing yet. And then the phone rings, and here's another thing, and I'm like, God, look at what you're doing. You're just showing off. That's the God that we serve. And he's so big and so powerful and so awesome. And he's like, and I want to do some big, powerful, awesome things in your life, but some of you are in a box. And you just need to get outside of the box. There's a fun thing that the Apostle Paul does with this exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or even think. He's taking a couple of Greek words and mixing them together in a phrase where they don't normally mix together. He's really kind of inventing some words, you might say. For instance, have you ever said that something was fantabulous? I mean, or is it just me? It's just me, okay. No, I don't think I made up that word. Somebody, I'm not smart enough to make that up. But, you know, just kind of merge fantastic and fabulous, and you come together with fantabulous. You know, that's kind of what the Apostle Paul is doing here in the original Greek. And I mean, we don't know the Greek, but the people who are reading it, they would have gone, man, Paul, you're kind of really stretching it here. You're kind of making up stuff to try to describe just how awesome God is. I mean, he's saying things like, this is kind of like in the English version, not just God is big, but he's like big-immune-no-huge-erific or something. He's super beyonderful. That's the kind of phrasing that Paul is really doing here in the Greek when he puts these words together, morphs them all together, and says, God is an incredibly, incredibly, extravagantly, extravagantly, awesomely, awesome, outrageously, outrageous, infinitely, infinite. I mean, he's just out there. And then he says, I knew it was going to happen. That thing's been pulling on me all service. And then he says, and that God cares so much about you that he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, outrageously, horrifically, terrifically, whatever. I mean, just words that go, there's no words for it. That he wants to do that in your life. He wants to do that in your present circumstance. Quit thinking about yesterday. Quit thinking about tomorrow. Quit thinking about somebody else. It's time for you to personalize this word to your here and your now. And say, that's the God who wants to show up big for me. Hallelujah. You know, it would have been okay. I would have been fine if Paul would have said, God is able to meet all your needs. I mean, wow. That sounds pretty impressive, right? God is able to meet all your needs. That ain't what Paul says here. He's like, forget about your needs. He's like, what can you imagine? What can you think? What can you dream up? And he's not just able to do it like, oh, he can get by. You know, it's going to take a 9.5 effort, and he's got like 9.75, so he can cover it. No, it's like he's exceeding abundant. I mean, he's just so far above and beyond it. It's like, small fries for me. Easy for me to do this. For you. Can you imagine? Come on, somebody imagine with me the day when all your debts are paid off. Because God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or even think. Come on, somebody imagine with me a day when all of your family is saved. I mean, every aunt, uncle, you know, child, grandchild, cousin, nephew, niece. Because God's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or even think. Somebody imagine walking in good health. I mean, you're not hurting anymore. You're not taking a bottle full of pills every day. Because God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or even think. Somebody imagine with me having a marriage that's based on respect and love and is fulfilling in every dimension of your life. Come on, somebody. Imagine that with me. Because God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask. Or even think. Imagine having a job that you just love to wake up and go to every day because it's so fulfilling you just love it because God's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or all that you could think because God just, he's just more. He just does more than what we deserve. He's just more. So I want you to think with me, first of all, about a God who has a power that is above us. Secondly, God is able because there's a power that's within us. You see, you've maybe didn't see this one coming, but Paul just kind of throws us a curveball here. He sets us up. He says, this big, powerful God that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or even think. And then he throws that phrase in there after that. According to the power that works within us. Whoa, wait a minute. The power that works within us? That this God, this powerful, all capable, the word there for power is the Greek word dunamis. We've studied that one out in sermons in the past. You know, it's the same as where we get the word dynamite. It's the word that Jesus uses when he promises the Holy Spirit. And he says, you know, when the Holy Spirit comes, you're going to be endued with dunamis, with power from on high. You know, when Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit, he says, you know, so far I've been with you, but I'm going to leave and go back to the Father. And it's necessary for me to go to the Father because when I go to the Father, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And he's not just going to be with you. I've been with you. He's not just going to be with you. He's going to be in you. In you. Paul's tapping into some of that. And he's talking about this extraordinary, awesome power of God. And he says that power that can do more than we could ask or even think is not just out there somewhere. It's right here within us. If we're the body of Christ, if we're born-again believers, if the Holy Spirit is living in us, then that power of God is inside us. Pastor Norman's here today, and I think you're the first person I ever heard talking about Jesus living inside of us, and some people think that that's just some little teeny tiny Jesus living in our heart. I don't want to preach it wrong, Pastor Norman, so fix me if I get it wrong, but it's not just some little teeny tiny Jesus living in our heart. It's not some teeny tiny Holy Spirit living in our heart. This is the big God. This is the power of a God. This is the Almighty God who's living inside of you. And he wants to work through you. He wants to work in you. He wants to do stuff inside of you. Listen, he doesn't just want to do afternoon tea with you, hang out for an hour or so, and then leave you. He's not just saying, well, let's take a family vacation together and we'll all go hang out together for a week together. No, he's like, no, I want to live in you. I want to dwell in you. I want to be you to be my permanent dwelling place. I want to be in you and empower you. Listen, church, there's a world out there. As much as we, as the believers, need to see this exceeding abundantly power of God above us, working in our lives, there's a world out there that needs to see this exceeding abundantly power of God at work in our life as well. And that's where we get to the last point. And that is that not only is the power of God at work above us, not only is God's power within us, but God's power is working through us. God wants to work through us. God wants to use you. God wants to use you. That's why we need one another. That's why we need the body of Christ. It's because the power of God, it's not just God just, you know, dropping some power from nowhere into the midst of our situation. A lot of times what God wants to do is he wants to demonstrate his power through us. As we pray for one another, as we lay hands on one another, as we stand beside one another and encourage one another and lift one another up, as we forgive one another, as we do our part, something begins to happen, not just within us, but something begins to happen through us. And the world begins to see God like they never saw God before. Listen, we're living in a world that needs to see God in a way that they haven't seen God. A lot of people just, you know, they don't know who God really is. I mean, they're small thinking God. They put God in a box. They put their brain in a box and said that, you know, I don't know, God's, you know, if he's even real, I don't know that he can do much. No, the world needs to see it. And here I want you to see this verse in Ephesians 3:21. It says, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Hey, we're part of that all generations, aren't we? Yeah, so we're part of that. So to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. I want you to catch this. I want you to see this because I want you to dream with me. I want you to believe with me for something that's bigger and beyond what we've ever done before. I want you to think about what God can do in this community through Spirit Life Church. Come on, somebody needs to dream that. I know I said that and you're just like, ooh, now he's getting practical. Yeah, yeah, what can God do in us and through us to impact this community? You know, you've heard me say it before, we're not just a church in our community, we're a church for our community, but we're not doing it in our own strength, we're not doing it by ourselves. No, it's this exceeding abundantly above power of God that is at work in us, that wants to work through us to impact our community, to impact our city, to impact your family, to impact your workplace, to impact the school where you go, to impact where we are, the power of God. And then something phenomenal happens. When the power of God begins to work, when the power of God begins to be demonstrated, when there are signs and wonders and miracles and healing and unexplainable stuff that's just so far beyond what we could ask or even think that God begins to do, the world sees that and they're drawn to that. And they're like, I want in on whatever that is. I want to be a part of that. Sometimes the church hasn't done a real good job of demonstrating who God really was. Can we be honest? Can we just be honest for a moment? You know, we're just family talk here. And sometimes the church hasn't done a real good job of really demonstrating the love and the grace and the power and the mercy and the goodness of God. And sometimes the world's like, yeah, that's what the church is. You know, they're in worse shape than we're in, you know. But when the exceeding abundant, able to do above all we can ask or think, power of God that's within us begins to work through us and the world begins to see that, then God's going to get glorified and people's lives are going to be changed. So Father, Lord, help us today. Stretch us today. God, it's not a matter of us taking you out of the box because you never went inside whatever box we tried to put you in to begin with. But Lord, help us to get out of that box. Lord, help us to step into a higher level of faith than we've walked in before. Lord, maybe for some of us, we just need to be reminded of a place where we used to be, where we were walking in a level of faith, where we were dreaming and imagining, and then we just let life and its disappointments cause us to shut down and withdraw and pull inside of our shell and quit dreaming. But Lord, you're challenging us to resurrect those dreams, to begin to believe again, to hope again, to trust again, to walk by faith again, to begin to make some big declarations and to see God work. Lord, we want you to work inside of us. We want you to work through us. But Lord, not that it's all an end all, that we get what we need from you. The power of God above us working within us. But God, it's the through us part. Lord, it's not just working in us for us. It's working through us for others. Lord, for others to see God in our lives. For others to be drawn to you because of what they see going on where you're doing the exceeding abundantly above. God, we ask you to do it. Use us, Father, for your glory. With every head bowed and eyes closed, maybe there's some folks here today that you've never made the decision. God, maybe you thought, I'm too bad. I think I got a word to bring some hope and some renewal and some encouragement to you. I want to talk to you from what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And it's just a challenge for us to dream big, to think big, to raise our level of expectation, to go above and beyond what we've ever imagined or dreamed possible. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Maybe those that are watching online, I'm speaking to you today. Maybe there's some folks that's in the room. The Holy Spirit is knocking at your door today. I just want to ask, if you're here and you want to make that decision to invite Jesus Christ into your life so that he can begin to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or even think. If you're willing to have that kind of relationship with Christ and you want to start it today, would you just raise your hand because I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Anybody in this place today? Anybody? Again, maybe there's some folks you're watching online, so we just want to pray this simple prayer. Just ask Jesus into our heart. And if you're here today and you didn't raise your hand, but that's a decision that you need to be making, or again, if you're watching online, pray this prayer with me. Simple prayer right now. Dear Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. I'm lost without you. I'm hopeless without you. I believe that you have the power to change my life. I believe that you came to this earth as a man, lived a perfect, sinless life, died on a cross, rose from the dead to pay the penalty for my sin so that I could have everlasting life. And so, Jesus, I invite you into my life today. I invite the power of God to begin to work within me today. Live in me today. Take up residence in my life today. Change my life. Help me to live for you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. Listen, why don't we just put our hands together and just celebrate the fact that there could be some folks who just made that decision to receive Christ. Hallelujah. Come on up, Pastor Norman.